Hey, what up, guys? It's Chiquis. You know, game days at my house are a whole thing. La camiseta, the snacks, la familia, all the yelling at the TV. Y claro, el outfit para la fiesta también importa. But let's talk about the family group chat, making crazy predictions before kickoff, los amigos sending voice notes after every golazo, y por supuesto, debating which player wore it best. Sign me up para esa encuesta. And when I'm on tour, I still gotta stay close to mi gente rooting for our team because nothing feels better than shouting gol all at the same time. Being a T-Mobile member gets me America's best network y mucho más with nonstop talk, text, and data in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Plus, I get awesome benefits like incredible perks every week with T-Mobile Tuesdays. Every match is better when you can celebrate every goal con tu gente. Switch to T-Mobile today at T-Mobile.com. On qualifying plans, not for extended international use, coverage not available in some areas. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, 2H2025.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcoming to the Early Line as we are live right here on SportsGrid on a Monday morning, a packed Monday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. DRS, what's the word?
It is a packed Monday morning here. Major League Baseball, NBA action. And what happens this week? I think, Kevin, something called the NFL Draft in Las Vegas.
That's so right.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go. And I am refreshed and ready today.
Yeah, a couple things going to make the headlines. It is draft week. We will talk about that throughout our show. Basically, all of that North Carolina Tar Heel team that went to the national championship game is coming back if you're into some college basketball headlines. But it is the NBA dominating center stage right now, and rightfully so, because the 7-7 headlines begins with a two-piece. The Brooklyn Nets are down 3-0. So far, the only team that is winless in this postseason. Ben Simmons was set to return for game number 4. Well, they lost game 3. Ben woke up with a sore back, and he is not coming back for game 4. My goodness, Donnie, the season that keeps on giving, the Brooklyn Nets are in quite some spot.
Yep, must have called his private chef up in the morning. Hey, bring me in some eggs and bacon. Tried to sit up in bed. Ooh, that would hurt a little bit too much here. You know what? Beep, 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 beep. Hey, Coach Nash, are you coaching today, Coach Nash? Or is it Coach okay, it's you today. Yeah, I'm not feeling that great. So maybe if we get eliminated, I'll feel even. But man, you know what? Ooh, Kev, I was 3 days away. I was 3 days away here from really getting off here in this game. But oh, we're out of the series 0-4. You can't write a better script than what Ben Simmons is providing here for the Brooklyn Nets right now.
The thing is, right, and it Simmons is an easy target. A part of the reporting done by Adrian Wojnarowski is that Ben Simmons had not practiced really with the team. How dysfunctional is this Nets organization? I mean, they're really putting out reports that this guy is set to return, and they have no idea what he looks like. There's a lot to unpack there, no doubt about it. How about the likely MVP? Nikola Jokic steps up to the plate. Everybody thinks, you know, we're so mean to Jokic. All we wanted was him to play excellent because that's what he had done all regular season. And what do you know? Jokic's best game of the series, and the Nuggets win 37-8-6, and they force a game 5, Donnie.
Yeah, boy, we must be setting the bar low here, too. So Jokic has the good game. They win, and they're going to get beat 4-1 in the series. And we all go, you know what? Jokic gave it his best, man. He did get that one game in the first round. You got to give him credit for that.
Listen, again, they are not as good as the Warriors. But it's like he was not good in the first two games. And now he's been good in the last two. And we were like, see? We told you Jokic was great. But again, this – I'd say this, folks. These playoffs have just been quite a ride, especially for Phoenix Suns fans. After game one, they were wondering if they'd ever lose a game this playoffs. Now they're wondering if they're going to win a series. We are even at two, Donnie, in a 1-8 Suns-Pelicans matchup. Brandon Ingram with his third consecutive 30-point performance. Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado getting under the skin of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. This series is tight.
No, the series is really tight. I'm actually looking forward to it now going back to Phoenix here. What would happen if Phoenix dropped Game 5 to go down and needing a must-win scenario in Game 6 and forcing a Game 7? That would be incredible to watch because you're right. Entering into the playoffs, there's a few series here that we looked at going, all right, strike this off. No reason to watch it. Yep. Maximum 5 games. 7-game series.
Yeah, so the radio audience is with us here on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside, SiriusXM, Channel 159. Some news in the Eastern Conference around Joel Embiid. Some people thought he deserved the MVP. An excellent start to his postseason could be derailed. A torn ligament in his thumb, Donnie. I think, you know, a disappointing game four result as this series is extended. It's another game on Embiid. He needs surgery, but he's not getting it until this season is over.
Yeah, it seems a lot like last year when he hurt his knee. Should get surgery in the offseason. Now, ended up not getting surgery because his knee healed properly. But now you just look and you say, what else here? You got the guy can't be any more healthy this year. Played unbelievable basketball at MVP caliber level. And here we go in the first round here as you're trying to move on. It turns out he has a ligament injury that's going to need surgery, which basically means, Kevin, it's not going to get any better throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Devastating blow for the Philadelphia 76ers here.
Certainly is. Some more injury-related news, as that has kind of been the theme of this postseason once again. Luka Doncic back, 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. But all that was good for was a one-point loss in Utah, Donnie. We're even at 2 apiece, but the Don was back and rocking.
Yeah, it's good to see him come back here. We'll see how he can progress. But if you are the Mavericks and you take a look at this, like, hey, all things considered, Kevin, and for a game five, we're tied up, and with the best of three is going to be on our home court here for games 5 and 7. You take that every single time. Maybe the Mavericks can make a push here in this topsy-turvy West.
Yeah, looking at some other spots, we've got it evened up right now in Memphis, Minnesota. And we've got a pair of 3-1 leads, Donnie, for both the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. I got to say, I thought the Heat would win the series. I thought they'd win it in 5. But, man, they are demoralizing. It feels like Trae Young and this Hawks team on a nightly basis.
Yes, they are. I mean, you're taking a look at some of these games here, ending up 15, 20, 25 points, and Jimmy Butler reincarnated for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We always said, Kevin, this team was built for the playoffs, and they're showing out early.
Major League Baseball, so many headlines, Donnie. The Phillies blanked on Sunday Night Baseball in the star of the game. Angel Hernandez, the umpire. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a little listen-up segment to end this here today. No doubt about it, Angel.
2 hours of fun. You keep it right here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So much happens over this weekend, but the biggest story right now is what is happening with the Brooklyn Nets. 2 years in a row as the NBA title favorites. 2 years in a row, the expectation is that they would run through the NBA. By the time we rocked up to the postseason, they did lose their status as title favorites. They entered a series against the Boston Celtics near pick, right near pick. Opportunity to win game one. They lose by 1 at the buzzer. Opportunity to win game 2. They blow a 17-point lead. The thought process is game 3 going back to Brooklyn. Durant will finally play well in one of these games. Durant scored 16 points. I know there's probably a desire to talk about Ben Simmons here, but Donnie, that is letting people off of the hook. We'll get to Ben Simmons. Kevin Durant is putting forward one of the worst postseason performances of his career and is somehow doing it at age 33, is somehow doing it after having a great regular season. Last year in the postseason was fantastic, even though they lost in the second round to the Milwaukee Bucks. It is a puzzling performance for KD. Kyrie's been atrocious since the opening game of this series. Steve Nash might as well not even show up for game four. He seemingly is so fired for Brooklyn. Donnie, your reaction from the Brooklyn Nets 3-0 hole here in the opening round of the playoffs.
I'm surprised they're in a 3-0 hole, but as I said before the series started, I did think the Boston Celtics were the better team, and they're certainly showing it right now. So unless there's a four-game sweep here from the Brooklyn Nets to win this series in seven, there's going to be a lot of upheaval here in the offseason. And you're right. What did we bank on here? Say, okay, forget about Ben Simmons. Forget about James Harden being traded to Philadelphia. All you needed, Kevin, was a healthy Kyrie Irving and a healthy Kevin Durant, and that's going to be enough to lift us to a title. What if I would have told you that scoring average through the playoffs here, through some teams that played four games, some teams are going to be playing their fourth game. Kevin Durant is 21st in the NBA, and Kyrie Irving is 23rd in the NBA. The two guys that should be able to get their game and elevate it more than any other players, because it's supposed to be just those two guys with a couple of role players, and they can get as many shots as they want, they can be as efficient as they want, and they can control the game, and they're not doing that right now. So you're right. People look, oh, well, Ben Simmons was supposed to come back, and they were supposed to have James Harden in the playoffs. No. It was supposed to be Kevin Durant was the best player in the world, and no matter who he was out there playing with, he can make it happen. Kyrie's just a nice little Batman Robin piece that you can use off to the side, and yet they are going to get swept out in the first round. Is this the same team that we were handicapping just 3 weeks ago going, hey, playoffs are now here, even though they were going to be in the play-in, even though they're going to have a tough run to the NBA Finals matchup if they could even get to play, let's just say the Phoenix Suns. They look terrible, and I would not be surprised on their home court, which is not much of a home court advantage, they get sliced and diced, and they're out after four games? Woo, man, didn't see that coming. Maybe some people did.
They are the only team that is winless in this postseason. And there were a couple of teams that were down 3-0 and had the heart to win game four. Does anybody think this Brooklyn Nets team fits that description? We'll preview that game inside hour number two. But as predicted, there are plenty of excuses going around for Kevin Durant. Some of my favorites. Oh, he's coming off of an Achilles injury. That was 3 years ago. He has played two full seasons since that Achilles injury and was unbelievable all the way up until this series began. Ah, oh, this Boston Celtics defense, they're not letting him get to his spots. What? What, Kevin Durant can only score from two spots on the floor? Isn't the whole thing around Kevin Durant that he can score from anywhere at any time he wants? Oh, they're sending double teams. Oh my goodness. The Boston Celtics have figured out how to stop KD. Send double teams. First time in his career. Can't believe that he made it double-digit seasons in the NBA without seeing a double team. Kevin Durant is folding under the heat from the Boston Celtics, from this series, from the pressure that is this season. This is not Kevin Durant. This is not a guy who had a claim to best player in the world. This is not a guy who is currently putting up a performance that welcomes a spot in the top five players in this sport. 22 points per game on under 40% shooting. Not even really interested in answering the bell in game number three. If Kevin Durant would have been a top 10 player in this postseason, this is a 2-1 Nets series lead. Yes, Steve Nash is terrible. Yes, Kyrie's been bad for two straight games. Yes, Ben Simmons has not been around. Bruce Brown is out playing Kevin Durant. Bruce Brown. They're going to Blake Griffin, who looks like he can't even make it up and down the court more than three times in a row, for somebody to step up and help this basketball team. KD is being wildly outplayed, not just by Tatum, but by others on his own team. This is unacceptable from a guy that has hit the mountaintop. This is not a guy that we go, wow, I don't know what happens when we get to the postseason with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has won two finals MVPs, Donnie. I do not remember a player of Durant's talent who has been able to answer the bell the way Durant has throughout his career. At this moment in his career, at this point in his career, what we would still believe, the prime of his career, people put this guy on the first All-NBA ballot this season. This performance is unbelievable. It is unacceptable. And any excuse is just that. It is an excuse here. This is horrific from Kevin Durant.
Maybe James Harden actually saw this coming and wanted to get out in time. Now, here's the funny part about this, Kevin. You take a look at the playoffs and teams that are salvaging their reputations, like the back-to-back MVP Nikola Jokic. Oh, man, thank goodness he got that one playoff win. That validates his entire MVP run here, which is hilarious to sound. But then again, if you look at Kevin Durant, what can he do in this series to actually salvage it? I don't even care, Kevin, if they forced a game seven back in Boston and he dropped 42 points in a one-point loss. It just seems unsalvageable here for the Brooklyn Nets. And it's not just this year, because are we going to do the same charade next year? And I'm already writing the obituary for the Nets. I don't think they're going to win four straight games against this Celtics team. Where do they look towards in the future here? Are we going to say, okay, Kevin Durant, just get healthy in the offseason. The best player in the world is going to come back and score. This was devastating here because you're in a salary cap NBA. Who do you add here? Ben Simmons is your big three here. So you're saying, okay, let's get Ben healthy in the offseason and bring him back on this basketball team, and then we'll have our big three. I don't think that's going to happen here. We'll see what happens in Kyrie. Maybe he goes off into the sunset and actually retires from the NBA to pursue some other career. But at this time right now, it doesn't look great for the Nets. And I don't care if they win one. Oh, man, yeah, they fought hard, Kevin, on their home court, and they forced a game five back in Boston. Then they get beat. There are no moral victories in this series for the Brooklyn Nets. And quite frankly, their future looks bleak right now.
And you talk about the future, Donnie, and this is where the Ben Simmons situation really enters the conversation. The thought is that Ben Simmons would return. The reality is, when this team was down 3-0, the joke was, oh, yeah, Ben Simmons is going to save them, which is accurate. But Ben Simmons now isn't going to play. And Kevin Durant should send him a big thank you card, because somehow, again, KD is going to evade the smoke. And it's going to be Ben Simmons' fault that this team is in a 3-0 hole somehow. A lot of people, though, Donnie, are coming for Ben Simmons to say that he has no interest in playing. Ben Simmons is pulling off a heist. Ben Simmons is not being honest in that he has been working his way back out there on the floor. And to be honest with you, Donnie, I find myself quite puzzled by all of this. Donnie, he wasn't scrimmaging with the Nets. How in the world were the Brooklyn Nets then telling people he was coming back for game four? You want my read on it, Donnie? I think the Brooklyn Nets are tired of Ben Simmons. I think the Brooklyn Nets, Clippers Kawhi-esque, thought that he would be back, and they've been putting out he's coming back for game four, never actually believing it. That way he could be the fall man for when this series ends the way that it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just so many things up in the air on Ben Simmons going over. It was the mental part of his game, then his back started to hurt here. But you're right. As we entered into the playoffs, it turned into, yeah, it looks like he's progressing nicely. And then all of a sudden, over the next 2 to 3 days, all we heard was this: he'll let us know when he's ready to play. And seemingly he did let them know. And maybe he says, I don't want to come back in an elimination game where I look bad and we head into the offseason where it was my fault. Let me just chill and sit this one out here and reevaluate my career next year. And oh, yeah, make sure you pay me my money.
So many postseason headlines to get to. Oh, by the way, Kyrie has an opt-out at the end of this year. Interesting times ahead. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. There's so much that we could unpack with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll be able to preview game number four today, inside hour number two. I want to wait and let some things materialize. I will ask you this quickly, though, Donnie. Do you think that Ben Simmons is ever going to play for the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, him playing this year at this rate would be stunning, because it would require this series to go, you know, probably like seven games. I don't even know if that would be enough, but I mean, really, Donnie, doesn't it feel like the Nets are in for a wild offseason? Steve Nash is almost assuredly going to be fired. Kyrie is going to opt out and ask for a monster max contract that you could argue he hasn't really earned during his time in Brooklyn. Like, this offseason, Donnie, maybe, you know, to not put it so specific onto the Ben Simmons situation here, this offseason for Brooklyn seems like it is going to be as tense as the Lakers.
It really does. Maybe even worse, because you have superstar athletes that run the team. And what we mean by, as you said, opt-out clause here for Kyrie Irving. Very easy. I don't feel like playing here anymore, and maybe I don't feel like playing basketball again. I'm going to opt out and weigh my options here. So then you leave it up to Kevin Durant, who is one of the few athletes in the world that can go, well, I just don't want to be in Brooklyn anymore, and I won't show up. Maybe moves within a few days. Like, that's his star power. Like, oh, we can't have these commotions here. Somebody's going to trade us a boatload to get Kevin Durant. Good, but we'll move on from you. And then you are left with Ben Simmons, where who's actually taking Ben Simmons? Like, if Ben Simmons says, I want to get out of Brooklyn, Brooklyn goes, awesome. Find a trade that we can get you out of here. Oh, you can't find one here and we're stuck with you? That's the way it feels like. So could this be the Brooklyn Nets heading into 22-23 as the face of their franchise is just Ben Simmons? Can you imagine that? But that's where we might be heading here.
I mean, it is a spot, Donnie, where Durant is going to control so much of it. You're right. The one thing that is interesting is it could be a lot calmer because the Nash thing is a very easy move that they're going to make, and that will signal change. But I don't know what you do with Kyrie Irving. Again, I think Durant will dictate a lot of that, but this is, again, going to be quite the offseason. And let me add this quickly. People are going to say, oh, come on, KD and Kyrie are going to give Ben Simmons a chance. They didn't give Kenny Atkinson a chance, and that was a mistake because they brought in Steve Nash, and Kenny Atkinson is a very good NBA coach. So, again, it's a tense time coming for the Brooklyn Nets. Simmons is a former team, Don, in the Philadelphia 76ers in a 3-1 situation against the Toronto Raptors. Now, typically, Donnie, you wouldn't even really bother to bring up, are there any worries in Philly? But there's, I think, two reasons you can. One, there's a lack of trust around a Doc Rivers, James Harden-led basketball team. And two, and more importantly, Joel Embiid is injured. Now, he can play through the thumb injury, Donnie, but I thought we saw a little bit here in game number 4, 7 of 16, only 21 points and only 8 rebounds for Embiid, that he is probably not going to be his MVP 33-14 Joel Embiid self. What is your confidence level around the Sixers for this series and beyond?
For this series, confidence level is high. They're still going to be able to get by the Toronto Raptors. Now, also, you could probably say it's hard to very, obviously, Kevin, count on sweeps here. But you tell me Fred VanVleet plays 15 minutes in that last game. I don't care what happened to Joel Embiid. You probably should put the Raptors away, and they weren't able to do that, which is fine. You go back game 5 in Philadelphia. James Harden said at the mic, look, we're going to do everything in our power not to head back to Toronto. And I do believe that. I think the series does end tonight. But it's almost like that deep breath. It's like, okay, great. Normally we'd be excited. Fantastic. Bring on the Miami Heat. But if Joel Embiid is inhibited in any way, shape, or form, the Sixers aren't going anywhere. Like, the reason why you were heads up here in the playoffs, you say, man, Joel Embiid just carried that MVP season into the postseason. He looks like a man on a mission. He's completely healthy for once. Doesn't need any blows here. Can go 35, 40 minutes. Whatever you need out of Joel Embiid, you got it here. And it's almost like that cloud moves over the city of Philadelphia and goes, yep, your MVP candidate, which was healthy for the entire season, and no, it's not his back, Kevin, and no, it's not his knee, just some random thumb injury that could play with his one-on-one game, the shakedown in the low box, the three-point shot. You know, teams know if your hand is hurting, what are they going to do? Every contested shot here, they're coming hard to try to knock you down and impact that shot and drill you right on that injured hand. It hurts because when you move forward in the next round, you're supposed to get a great effort here. Maybe a 7-game series, 6-game series versus the Heat. But if Joel Embiid isn't right, it does give them so many excuses, Kevin, just to sit back like, what did you want us to do, Joel Embiid? Well, maybe every year you need to count on Joel Embiid going down for some way in the playoffs, whether it's sickness, injury, or whatever it is. The worst case scenario just happened for the Sixers. Even though they'll close this series out, not good news. Not good news at all, Kevin.
This is, to me, too, where, Donnie, kind of the concept of injury-prone versus bad luck comes in. Embiid, yes, it feels more susceptible to an injury. It's the nature of being his size. That has nothing to do with a torn thumb, which makes this feel all so unfair. My big takeaway from this situation, though, Donnie, truthfully, is twofold. If this game is won by the Raptors tonight, everything gets very tense in Philadelphia. Oh, my gosh. Doc Rivers is going to blow a 3-0 lead. I really think that's going to be the talking point. Like, the expectation, if they lose Game 5 in Philly, is there's no chance they win Game 6 in Toronto. That doesn't mean it's necessarily true. That will be the vibe around it. But my bigger takeaway, Donnie, this is a chance for us to figure out if Joel Embiid has a 1B in James Harden or essentially doesn't even really have a number 2. James Harden, Donnie, if he is still the guy that they brought in at the trade deadline, he steps up, he answers the bell, he gives this team 28-12-7 and wins this basketball game versus the Toronto Raptors. We haven't seen it yet in this series. Maybe you argue we haven't need to see it yet in this series, Donnie. You need it here in game number 5. You cannot just say, hey, Embiid, I know the thumb is messed up. I need 35. Harden has to be able, Donnie, to step up here and get this team a bigger workload, a bigger performance in what feels like a must-win closeout game.
Exactly, and especially, you're talking about the walls caving in here. Let's just say Fred VanVleet and that hip strain doesn't play tonight. The Toronto Raptors come to Philadelphia in Game 5 and pull out a victory. Then all panic would be in the streets. But also, it's tempered at this time, right? Because let's just say Joel Embiid was completely healthy here and you lost Game 5. There would still be panic in the streets, but maybe you're looking at it saying to yourself, I don't know, you know, because just as a fan, do I want them to go deep? But what are the expectations now where Joel Embiid has a thumb wrench? Because it's not one of those things, Kevin, like, okay, the knee injury can heal in a week and a half. The back injury just needs him to sit out a game or two, or he has a bone bruise in his thumb. He just needs to sit out one game and it's going to get better. We're under the guise that it's a torn ligament, so it's not going to get better, and how can you manage the pain? Which is terrible, because Doc Rivers, I don't know what he was talking about, going, well, we know it can't get any worse. Oh, great, so it's already as bad as it's going to get, so enjoy over the next, you know, month and a half if the Sixers can make a run, worried about if Joel Embiid's going to be healthy or not, or if his shot looks a little bit different here. There is a lot of conjecture here of what the Sixers can actually do, but now I think it's tempered here, and even from your fans, handicappers, or whatever, you're not looking at the Sixers as a plus. Let's just say Joel Embiid never got hurt. They wiped Toronto off the court in 4 games. Wow. This team might be here on a run, and all that has taken a step back, as it should. Yeah. When your best player has an injury, it can't get any better than that, right?
Embiid likely going to finish number 2 in the MVP race to Nikola Jokic. I am probably going to be a bit softer on Jokic than Donnie. Here is the thing, though, with the Jokic conversations that, truthfully, I don't understand. There is this desire from the people that they feel like they love the NBA more than the big upper echelon of the media sphere, right? You know the names. The people that they feel like are given the biggest platforms to talk about this sport despite not actually watching this sport. And I understand that they can attack Nikola Jokic, but it does not mean that you need to give a 2-time back-to-back MVP a pass for his subpar Game 1 and Game 2 performances. Jokic shoots it at almost 60% from the floor in the regular season, was under 50% in the first 2 games. He had the worst plus-minus of anybody on either team in both Game 1 and Game 2 individually, not combined, in both of the 2 games. And then he stepped up in Game 3. 37-18-5, they lost close, and then he did what he needed to do, Donnie. They won Game 4. 37-8-6. The efficiency was fantastic. He set the tone early. They had their biggest lead at any point in this series early in that first half. They were trailing in the fourth quarter. He came back. He made the decisive basket. He made the decisive pass. Nikola Jokic, Donnie, yes, we are probably changing the bar for an MVP of you win one game. Barry Horowitz, patted on the back. Great job for you. He needed this performance, Donnie. He delivered it here in Game 4.
Yes, he did, and rightfully so. You need to step up in the biggest moments or at least salvage one of the things going, hey, we're not just going to be a heartless franchise here and say roll over because we lost Game 3 at home, and now what's the point of actually going back to San Francisco and playing another game? This is what you do as your career, and you never know where it's going to lead. As long as you keep on pushing it and start to push the onus back on the other team, you might be able to extend the series another game here and send it back for Game 6, which means you might be headed back for a Game 7. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't here, but sky's the limit. He is capable of 40-20-9, and he could possibly do that here in Game 5 to force it back. Good to see Jokic with a big-time performance, but again, I don't absolve anything. You can't just head into the playoffs and say, well, what did you want me to do? I'm the best player in basketball. I can't do much out here, right? No, you got to do everything. That's why you're the MVP.
And we saw, he's capable of it. That's why we're hard on him in game one and two. He wasn't up to standard. He has been in the last two games. And what do you know? It was their two best games of the series by a lot. Still so much more to break down in the NBA, including Luka Doncic is back. We'll break it down next. Live right here on Sports Grid. Still so much for us to unpack. I think we need to go to the Suns and the Pelican series, Donnie. It's 118-103 for a final score in New Orleans last night. And there's a couple of aspects of this game that you can attack. Brandon Ingram, 30-plus three straight games. Herb Jones, as a rookie, is going to make all-NBA defense, either first or second team most likely, and is emerging as a guy. Anticipate next year he will be a top seven choice for defensive player of the year in the NBA. Jose Alvarado, shout out to Queens, has been at one of the darlings of the NBA season. McCollum is doing his thing. Jonas Valanciunas had 26 and 15. The Pelicans all stepping up. There's the other side of this coin, though, Donnie. Chris Paul, four points. Ultimately, this team lost big here by 15. To be honest with you, Donnie, right now, even though it's 2-2, and I know this isn't soccer, on aggregate, it's the Pelicans that have been the better team in this series. And we've talked about this a lot, you and I, especially on the radio side. Devin Booker's not walking through those doors. It's not going to happen. Maybe Game 7. I doubt it, by the way. But maybe Game 7, Donnie. What is your takeaway from Pel's Suns?
Right where we probably should have been after that game two loss where Devin Booker went down. You wanted to see if the Phoenix Suns could at least, it's crazy that we talk about this, but it's the way it is, salvage at least one game in New Orleans, and they got it right away. And it's almost, Kevin, with that performance last night, doesn't it give you one of those vibes as, yeah, we got our game in New Orleans, so let's just head back to Phoenix, when instead of you wanted to strangle this team and go down 3-1 and win it back on your home court? And also, how many times do you see Chris Paul go into a game, play 35 minutes, and finish with 4 points and 11 assists? It just wasn't there. And they harassed him all game long, and rightfully so. DeAndre Ayton had 23 points, but nobody else really stepped up here for Phoenix. So as I look moving forward, and also, let's keep in mind, sometimes you try to take a look at the statistics, Kevin, to go, okay, let's look at what the Pelicans did. Well, what did you want them to do, Kevin? They made 21 three-point shots. You're not going to beat them. They made 6 3-point shots in that game. They shot 47% from the field. Phoenix on the road, Kevin, shot above 50% and lost this game. And no, they didn't lose it. 118-117. They lost it 118-103. Do we expect Chris Paul in a bounce-back performance? Absolutely. It's what all-star great NBA players do. But it was pretty surprising to me where it just had that feel. Like Chris Paul's like, we got our game here, when that's not really the way the Phoenix Suns operated this year. Whoever was in the lineup, they expected to win and usually won big and by margin. But that was a blowout loss last night where everything went wrong. And you're giving a team that's in the eighth seed a lot of fuel, a lot of younger guys stepping up and playing elite minutes going, you know what? We could take this team down. Let's see what happens in Game 5 in Phoenix, because I'll tell you right now, I would be very surprised if this was a turnaround performance where the Suns won by 25 points. Doesn't it just feel like if the Suns are going to win, they're going to have to play as good as they can play and barely get by? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on here. We talked about, you know, because I was very careful, right, Donnie? I didn't want to fall into a trap. I didn't want to, you know, believe the situation too much. But after game two, I told you, and I think you agreed, I'd be stunned if we weren't 2-2 going back to Phoenix. And we are 2-2 going back to Phoenix. And there's a couple of reasons why. One, the Pelicans are way better than 36-46 suggests. The addition of CJ McCollum, there was a bunch of games that Brandon Ingram missed. And as the younger players continue to get better, this team continues to perform at a higher level. Two, an outrageous level of confidence that comes from what they did in game number two. That's the truth of it. Because not only did they win without Devin Booker on the floor, but they were winning even while Devin Booker was on the floor. So now you go out there and you go, they're shorthanded and we can hang with them even when they're not shorthanded. We've got the better team and we're going back to New Orleans. We have an opportunity here. And they took advantage. And they absolutely took advantage. Brandon Ingram is the best player in this series. I mean, he has been so far, and it looks like that's going to continue as long as Devin Booker isn't going to come back out there on the floor. And the other tough thing for this Phoenix Suns team is while they, Donnie, have so much depth, when you remove a team's one of the top two players on a basketball team, it makes every single thing behind it weaker. You can't have subpar performances then from your top dog, like Chris Paul, who was horrible in this game, 4 points on 2 of 8 shooting. You can't have those. You'll never survive them. No, that's not how that's going to work. Well, Jay Crowder, can you create? No, I can't create. DeAndre Ayton, can I throw it to you in the post? I mean, he gave you 11 and 14, 23 points. Maybe throw it to Ayton a little bit more and see if he can give you a little bit more here in this series and maybe put a Jonas Valanciunas in some foul trouble. Because right now, the Phoenix Suns, that 64 and 18 Death Star, Donnie, is missing one of the key wings. It really is. And they're in a difficult spot here. And again, this Phoenix Suns team, by the way, when we talk about odds to win the title, it's tied for the third best odds. If Devin Booker is out, if they get past the Pelicans and he's out for round two, I don't know if this team's making it to a conference finals, much less winning an NBA championship. The odds around Phoenix, I don't still feel, Donnie, like they've adjusted enough.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you there in that point because you're taking a look, and it's a shame too because, Kevin, how many times did we look at this team during the regular season? And do you remember when the injury started to mount up, particularly with Chris Paul? What was the thought process behind it? Oh, watch out here. Memphis has a chance to catch him. No doubt in my mind, if the Warriors get healthy, they're going to catch him. We were actually just hoping that the Phoenix Suns would almost tread water here. I'm like, well, just don't get past that 4 seed here until Chris Paul comes back. And I even thought it might have been a blessing in disguise where Chris Paul goes down. They won basketball games. They stayed in that 1 overall seed. And he said, hey, didn't have all that wear and tear on Chris Paul. Now you need him to step up in the biggest moments. Did he have a good game 3? Yes, he did. Did he have a good game 4? Absolutely not. But I think now that once you get to the playoffs where you're playing playoff caliber teams every single night and you face adversity, not in the middle of February or a game in March where you're playing the dregs of the NBA, go, hey, look at that. You know, Chris Paul banged up. Devin Booker didn't play that great, but the Phoenix Suns were still able to win their game. That's not happening right now. And you're right. If this is an extended injury for Devin Booker, where even if he does come back but can give you a minutes restriction, 20 to 25 minutes, will that help them? Sure it will. But I got to tell you, you need to win in the NBA. You need everybody going full blast. And you're not going to have that right now for the Phoenix Suns or even for the foreseeable future.
It's a tough spot the Suns find themselves in. If they make it out, Donnie, they see the winner of Mavs-Jazz. We're 2-2 through 4. Luka's back. He was great in the first game, but it was still a loss for Dallas by 1 in Utah. My question to you, do you feel like this is the Mavs in a runaway? 1 game for Doncic, got his feet under him, still we're in Utah. Or are the Jazz still live in this series? Because I have to tell you quickly, Donnie, Luka's back. He looked awesome. He probably looked even better than I would have thought. I still feel like Utah hangs around here. And I'm one of the guys that loves to jump out in front of the Jazz can't hang. The Jazz are going to fall apart. It just, this series feels destined to go 7. That's still my anticipation here with this series.
Now, let me ask you a question here. The Utah Jazz series now tied at 2-2. We talk about, at least I know you've beat that drum, like the Utah Jazz will always disappoint you in the playoffs. But you know what's interesting where you start to try to change your methods of what you looked at? Wasn't it, well, Luka's not going to play in the series. Now the pressure is on the Jazz and they can't perform. Maybe now that Luka is actually back, one of the better players in the world, as crazy as it sounds, the pressure is now off of Utah going, well, what did you want him to do? Luka was healthy for the majority of that series. They couldn't win it, which now you can see them play and settle into their game here. Because I agree with you. If you're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, then Utah Jazz plus 114 to win the series. The Dallas Mavericks at a minus 134. And you're right. Luka just came in from the clouds and played a really good basketball game. But we haven't heard anything out of the Dallas Mavericks camp that said, oh, wait, hold on now. You know, calf's starting to swell a little bit. We have to sit him down. We're not getting that. So you figure those minutes will increase. But that contrarian in me starts to look at the Utah Jazz now and says, you know what? I actually might like them a little bit better now that Luka is back because now they can just play their basketball game and not come out and be like, we're supposed to win this game. The pressure is on us. Why aren't we blowing this team away when they don't have their star performer out here?
The product of a parity-driven league is when you lose in the playoffs, you don't have the excuse of, as Donnie said, well, what'd you want us to do? Donnie, run up against that Durant, Steph, Warriors team. Who cares? Yeah, of course we lost. You run up against the LeBron Cavs. Hey, we tried. We tried. We went as far as we possibly could. The Dallas Mavericks don't have any excuse here. And in fact, Dallas is one of those teams where if you lose this series, a 2-1 series lead before Luka steps out onto the floor, this will be 3 years in a row. You are a round one elimination. There's going to be questions. There are going to be some people who try and spin it on Luka, right? And we know that. Ah, they're up 2-1 without Luka. What happened? How did they not close this? And we know that. But also, at some point, Mark Cuban is going to have to add another all-star. Jalen Brunson's great. Sorry, that's not good enough if you want to win an NBA championship. It's not enough if you want to win an NBA championship. Dallas is going to be a team that's going to have to answer the bell in a major way in the offseason here. No doubt about it. How about, though, Don, we talk about expectations. The Milwaukee Bucks' expectations are title or bust. They lose Chris Middleton. It's 1-1. Man, can the Chicago Bulls hang? Nope. Not even a little bit. The Bulls, Donnie, have been absolutely routed. Both games in Chicago. Absolute domination. 30-piece in game number 3. 24 in game number 4. Giannis leading the way, 32-17-7. Chicago, Donnie, is absolutely toast. And I think it's really what we expected.
It is what we expected because Milwaukee's a very deep team. Oh, no, look at this. Middleton goes down. How will we ever survive? I don't know. Grayson Allen, 10 of 12 from the field, 6 of 7 from three-point range, 27 points on the road because you got the feel, right, from the other teams around the league where it's like, okay, in the playoffs, if a star player goes down, now's the time. We got blood here. We can seize the moment. We won a game in Milwaukee. Actually, won a game in Milwaukee. Maybe even should have won two. Let's go back to Chicago, handle our business with no Middleton, and absolutely flatline Kevin in both performances, and now you head back to Milwaukee and probably looking to get closed out here. 119-95, and it didn't even feel that close either in game 3 at this point. Giannis, 32 points, 17 rebounds. Nobody's boxing this guy out. Continuously, if he gets to the free throw line and goes 9 of 12, you're not beating the Milwaukee Bucks. But I have to say, for the Chicago Bulls factor here, you lose a key starter for the Bucks. You head home 1-1. Can't you at least send it back to Milwaukee 2-2 and not get embarrassed on your home court? But quite frankly, this is probably what we felt from this series when it opened up, a series that ends in 5 where you're lucky the Bulls even got one game here, and that's what it looks like we're going to get.
And truthfully, Donnie, to your point, like the Bulls didn't – I mean, I don't want to say they didn't need to win a game. They were thoroughly embarrassed in both games in Chicago. Like – that's so unacceptable. I've talked about this before with the Chicago Bulls. If I would have told you preseason, the Chicago Bulls are going to be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference and DeMar DeRozan is going to make an all-NBA team, the Bulls fans would have said, oh my goodness, what a year. This has been awesome. I hope we compete in the postseason. The Bulls have fallen apart that there are going to be people fired at the end of this season. That's how bad this has ended for this basketball team relative to where it started. They've exceeded expectations. DeMar DeRozan has been better than anybody could have imagined, and there will be heads rolling in Chicago for how bad this season has ended. Because I got to be honest with you, I like Lonzo Ball. He's not the 24-point difference, though, that comes in this series. This has been a very bad look for Chicago because the Bucks, you want. How are you close in game 1, win game 2, Middleton gets hurt, and now you look like you're going up against the Monstars? It's so, so bad for the Chicago Bulls. We'll close out some NBA recap inside hour number 1. You are watching and listening to The Early Line on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick second here before we get into hour number 2. A lot to get to there, no doubt about it. The NFL draft is upon us. We've got Major League Baseball recap and preview, and then we'll preview some more NBA games. I want to bring up, Donnie, one more game from last night, which was the Heat-Hawks. I have the Miami Heat winning the NBA championship, so I feel emboldened watching this performance. Jimmy Butler clearly is in postseason mode, 36-10-4, 4 steals, dominant. This Heat team in general is playing well, but I got to say, The Trae Young performances feel like the story. I find them to be a bit surprising. He looks dejected. He looks like he's it's almost as if Don is like, it's a waste of my time because I know I can't beat these guys. They're putting him in tough spots each and every time down the floor. I think it's a subpar performance from him. I think that's obviously clear. But I also think it's a message for the Atlanta Hawks. If you want to be serious next year in the Eastern Conference, you need to make changes to this roster. You need a second All-Star. They don't have one. Sorry, John Collins is not good enough. This team needs to improve, Donnie, if they ever want to go back to the Eastern Conference Finals like they were last season.
Yeah, maybe it was a perfect storm for them just getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, but certainly going up against this Miami Heat team is not a great recipe for success. And also, Trae Young, how about this? Friday night, I took him to go over 2.5 3-point shots made. He made 2 of those. Yesterday, say, Don, he's only going to score 9 points. Man, he probably didn't even make a 3. He actually made 3 3-pointers, and that was his only points of the night. So it just shows you how crazy sometimes you can bet with some of these props. But you got to be better. You can't be 3 of 11 from the floor, including you took 10 3-point shots, which means you weren't even creating inside the paint at this point. And maybe that just goes to show you how good an organization head coach that Eric Spoelstra is, because they got wasted again. And I'm not surprised. Miami Heat are going to be a real tough out here in the playoffs in 2022.
Yeah, I still actually think there's some value out there on the Miami Heat specifically, just kind of in the big picture markets, like the NBA championship, they're plus 550 right now. Also, and by the way, there's some sneaky Bucks value out there. I don't know if it's the Middleton injury or an overrating a little bit in my eyes of the Boston Celtics, but I am surprised that they are kind of on their own, the fifth choice on the finals board. It's really interesting times. A lot of fun in the NBA. We go to the NFL draft next to start hour number 2.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.